Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Monday at 9 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning show. Is that redundant?
No, I love
so.
It.
I don't think so.
You got a comma in between the two mornings.
Yeah. There
cool.
you go. Thank yeah. you. Thank you, Joe. If you were writing that in The Athletic, that's how you would write it?
Yes. So, okay. Just put the comma in there. That's fine.
By the way, we've had this discussion. My wife is also the comma police. I mean, she's grammar police, comma police. So it's like I have in-house schooling at all times. So I'm constantly being quizzed. But you know what? If it doesn't make me look stupid, then, you know, I'm all for it. But that's she should probably get paid for that because that's hard to do. But nonetheless.
That's a big job.
It is a big job. <That's
right. laughs> Darren, we were talking about this throughout the show today. Great transition there, by the way. It's good stuff. Barry Trotz, Pierre LeBrun coming out over the weekend saying that, you know, all options are on the table. Barry Trotz would like to make a decision somewhere around July 1st. About his future, whether that's coaching or in management. Pierre LeBrun saying that the Predators and Barry Trotz have at least chatted about a management position for him. What do you make of the idea of potentially Barry Trotz joining the management team here with the Preds?
I think what was interesting is I was under the impression that Barry Trotz had a house here. This is what I want investigated. Did Barry Trotz buy a new house and sell his old one? Or had he already sold the old one and this is the new house that he has purchased? Because I was under the impression that he has always kept a house here, and then we find out this. Then the next layer is I realize the house, the new one that he bought in Davidson County, is about the size of mine, and I'm pretty ticked off because mine is not valued at $1.5 million, and I would like to pick up my house and move it to Davidson County. And I know the area where he bought it, and I would like to plop my house down there.
Well, Joe has broken down every square foot so far here on the program.
Retirement! I'm just saying. And while my house is valued here in Rutherford County, it is not, you know, it is not to that point. But I was under the impression he always had a house here from people that I've talked to and talking with Barry over the years. So I was a little surprised to hear the news come out that he had bought a house. Again, like I said, I don't know if he just literally sold the one that he's kept here the whole time and bought that one, or if indeed the information that I've been told and what I thought, I was under the impression that maybe he didn't have a house for a period of time. So what do I make of all that? It's interesting, right? Because I've also been told for a good while that don't be surprised if that's not, you know, what Barry does towards the end. But Barry's still not that old. I've also been told the same thing about Tim Corbin for years. You know, like, don't be surprised. And I think now that they've got Candace Lee in there, that's probably, you know, not going to happen or certainly on a long hold. Because I had been told that for a good while about Tim Corbin. Don't be surprised if he's not the next Vandy AD. So this stuff that I've heard for a good while, really none of it's happened to this point, and we're about to find out if it's going to happen on Barry's front. I think there's probably a point or a portion of Barry that just says, you know what? What more do I have to do before people keep questioning what I do? Like, what more do I have to prove to you that I'm more than capable of doing this job and doing it at a high level before I'm constantly being questioned or I'm constantly looking over my back? And in the end, I'm being shown the door. I can understand his frustration. Like, that's ridiculous. And now it's happened on his last two stops. And his body of work has been at a very, very high level. And yet it hasn't worked out. Washington was a total embarrassment and a disaster. Again, from a front office person, here's an idea. Why don't you go down and do it? If you think you've got all the answers, remember, this happened in Florida with Gerard Gallant. And I used to say the same thing. Well, if you're so damn smart, you go down on the bench and you figure it out. If Gerard Gallant isn't good enough for your Florida Panthers team. By the way, we figured out Gerard Gallant, he's a pretty good coach, you know. And that really didn't work out well. And I know they eventually got Q, but, you know, there's got to be a part of that with Barry. He's like, I'm just tired of people telling me what to do. I know what I'm doing. I'm a Hall of Fame coach. I still have coaching left in me. I still have the desire to coach, but I'm tired of always looking over my shoulder, and I'm tired of people telling me that, you know, it's not good enough. Maybe I'll go upstairs and I'll tell people they're not good enough or what to do. So I do understand that. I just don't know what direction he's leaning.
Yeah, well, I mean, to your point, I mean, there were people, a lot of people in this, talking about John Hines, you know, given what he's done so far. I don't even know why that would even be brought up, but it was, because that's what this league is. It's just like, it just, you go to the coach so fast in this league to put all the blame on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think if, let's say, something like this materialized, Darren, like, what do you think it would look like? How do you think it would work with him here? I mean, we've been kind of batting it around. I mean, I guess at some point the idea being become the team's general manager. Like, how do you envision that if it were to play out that way?
Joe, I've thought about it over the weekend, and here's the tricky dynamic. Barry Trotz is so beloved right in this market for good reason. He's earned that. He is so beloved. And the problem with this is, do I think Barry could come in and whatever they ask him to do, he could do it at a high level and be successful at it? Of course. But when you're beloved in a market and Barry Trotz doesn't know how to be invisible, he's not going to be invisible. He's going to be just like he was as the head coach. He'll be out there. He'll be in the community. He'll be visible. He'll be out amongst the fans. And anytime something isn't going right, whether it's down on the bench or upstairs, it's a tricky dynamic, right? Because what do you think all the chatter is going to be? What do you think all the stuff on social media? What do you think all the stuff on this radio station will be? Well, put Barry Trotz there. He can fix it.
Yep.
You know, it's just natural. And I understand that. And I don't know how they feel about that, because that can't be a good feeling, right? For whether it's John Hines or even David Poyle, considering their relationship, their long relationship, and very good relationship. And I know, you know, how it ended, but don't forget, Barry Trotz, being the class guy that he is, has never said anything bad about Nashville, has never said anything bad about David Poyle, and realizes if it wasn't for David Poyle, he would never be in this position. He gave him that start to eventually be what we believe is going to, well, not what we believe. He will be a Hall of Fame head coach in the National Hockey League, and David Poyle is the reason. But it's tricky, right? Like, how do you do that? Like, who really wants to sign up for that? Because anytime something's not going right, the chatter, and we know how this works. Usually when people are mad, that's the voices that are the loudest, right? When people are happy, typically they're not loud. It's the people who are unhappy, and so the voices will be really loud, and they'll be screaming for Barry Trotz to take over and fix whatever's not working.
Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. And Darren, I've been Team Tampa Bay Lightning for a while. They've won 11 playoff series in a row, and even when they get down in series, I think to myself, well, it's the Lightning. They'll be okay. I don't know if I feel this way in this one. This one, Colorado looks pretty unstoppable right now. What do you make of the deficit for Tampa Bay, and what's your confidence level that they can climb out of it like they have before, already twice this postseason, and get back into this series?
This is kind of my one shining moment, and we're not there yet, but I'm getting the real ready, because it took me four rounds, and I think I'm actually going to be right, finally, going against the Lightning. But it took four rounds to do it. I've been wrong the entire playoffs, picking against the two-time defending Stanley Cup champs. But, yeah, I do think, look, I know they were just down 0-2 in the last series and came back and won the next four games against the Rangers. But I just saw a stat this morning. Teams that are up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup final, they're 47-5 on completing the mission. That's a pretty good record. Even with my Kentucky math and my challenges of getting educated in the state of Kentucky, I realize that 47-5 is a really high winning percentage. And that means if you're up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup final, you're probably going to win it. So it looks like, and oh, by the way, I think Colorado's been the better team. I mean, look, I expect Tampa to respond in Game 3, right? They got embarrassed over the weekend. I mean, I don't think anybody could have seen that butt-whooping coming on Saturday, right? I mean, that was just a good old-fashioned out-back just ass-whooping. That's just what it was. And Tampa will respond. But in the end, I think I'm going to be right, because I did pick Colorado. I kept with the theme. And I think they're going to win it. So that's my one shining moment. I think the Avs are going to win. I think Tampa's going to respond and win game three just because they know what's on the line. They can't get down 0-3, and they just got embarrassed on national television.
Okay, what's your number right now? We keep giving our number on Forsberg signing with the Preds.
Joe, I'm here to report. I'm glad you asked. Thank you.
Good.
This is kind of like breaking news, and I'm going to go on and reveal it. I don't hold anything back. I don't save it for my show when I come on this show. I'm more than willing to divulge whatever I want. And then, you know, I may regurgitate it. I may repeat it from 10 to 2. But I'm glad you asked because, to me, there seems to be a pattern developing. CMA Fest, Philip Forsberg. Speaking of not invisible, Philip Forsberg is not invisible. He was out on the stage. We've broken down that video. We don't need to go there again. But guess what? Guess who was visible again yesterday? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it? Philip Forsberg was at Nashville SC with his buddy George Kittle. And if you're planning on leaving, are you really visible? Are you really out there for everybody to see? Because you know a lot of attention is going to be on you. I think my percentages just went up. I think it just went up to 65%.
Mm.
He's coming back. So okay. Willie gave it a bump of 3% with his last CMA Fest video. I was standing pat. I didn't take insurance. The dealer asked for insurance. I was like, no insurance. And she said, insurance closed. But today, I'm bumping it up to 65%.
Ooh.
I'm bumping up 5% because Philip Forsberg and his buddy George Kittle were at the Nashville SC game yesterday. And look, he's out there saying, this is my home. Maybe I should bump it to 70. I don't know.
Do it.
I'm feeling frisky. It may be 70 by the time we get to 10 o'clock, but it's 65 right now.
I mean, what will it be by lunch? My goodness.
Joe, it may be 100%. No, it's not going to be 100% because it can only be 100% as if you know something, and I don't know.
Rumor has it Forsberg 100%. Was just spotted at the Mount Juliet Cracker Barrel out there, so
but
good for him.
That's true. Robbie, if there's a picture and I see it's going up again. Tweet me that picture. The percentages are going up.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can check him out on the DDC every day from 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Darren, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Just remember, guys, I don't hold back on this show.
Okay? That's right.
I'm going to bring it. I'm not going to hold it till 10.
That's right.
Thanks for the fun.
Team player. Darren McFarland joins us every week here on the program. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. This Thursday, 102.5 The Game will be out at Nissan Stadium in the South Plaza from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. as Monster Jam is set to announce something big. Also, Monster Jam has partnered with Second Harvest Food Bank and is hosting a community food drive to support Nashville families facing hunger. For every 5 non-perishable items donated, fans will receive one complimentary ticket to this Saturday's Monster Jam event coming up at Nissan Stadium. Tickets available for the first 250 donations on site. While supplies last, a limit of 4 complimentary vouchers per family/household. For more information, visit monsterjam.com. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning. Joe, what did you make of Darren's comments there about Forsberg? And do you read anything into Forsberg being here, being visible? He was at CMA Fest. He got up on stage. He was at Nashville SC game yesterday with George Kittle. Do you read anything at all into that in terms of what that means for his contract, negotiations, and his potential future with the Nashville Predators?
I really don't. Am I wrong? I am the guy who didn't realize the Griffies played together, so maybe I am wrong. But I don't. I look at it like he lives here, and if it goes wrong, he said many times he wanted to be here. He lives here. Everybody knows he loves living here and all that stuff. It's not on him. Like if he knew, let's say he knows that he's not going to sign, doesn't matter, he's going to go somewhere else. So if that was you and you were him in that situation, would you just say, and also I'm going to dig myself into a hole like the Hobbit and never peep, you know, like why wouldn't you just go live your life? I don't buy that. I don't think it means anything.
Well, I don't know if I buy that either, but I probably am not getting on stage at CMA Fest talking about how much I love Nashville either. Like, I think there is, if you know that you're leaving, like, I don't think Philip Forsberg knows that. Like, I think he legitimately wants to be here. So,
no, I agree.
Like, I think, I don't know if I necessarily read into it in terms of this guarantees that he's staying or anything like that.
I don't at all.
Like, I just think it means that he wants to be here. He's made his position, whatever it is, whatever he's asking for. He and his agent, J.P. Barry, I think have made that pretty clear to the Predators. I think, as Chris Johnston pointed out over the weekend, both sides are kind of dug in right now, and not much has changed on that regard. If it doesn't work out, like, I don't think that just means that Philip Forsberg was wanting to get out of here at that point. I just think negotiations didn't go the way he thought at that point. But I don't think it means because he's hanging around that he's just like, all right, I'm signing. Check your emails. You'll see an announcement in 3 days.
No, there's a PR element to this. Not that it really matters too much. If Forsberg signs with the Kings or whoever, I mean, you know, okay. So if Nashville fans are mad at him or not, you know, they boo him or don't, does it really matter? Probably not. But if he does sign somewhere else, all these examples of him being out and loving life and going to CMA Fest and everything, just it's another – to me, it's like, see, he did want to be here, and Poile screwed it up.
Well, I mean, it depends. Like, we'll probably – let's say it doesn't work out, and he ends up going to the free agent market and whatever deal he gets. Will we ever really know what he was asking for here and what the Predators were willing to give him? Probably not. It'd probably be difficult for that to come out. But
we'll just know what he signed for.
We'll just know what he signed for. So
if it's like 9 over 7, then I think it'll be fair to look at Poile and be like, what'd you do, man?
Yeah, like this.
Or does it mean that Forsberg actually just really wanted to leave?
Well, it could be. And, you know, there's still a possibility. Like, nobody knows what Forsberg's asking for. Like, he could be asking for something just outrageous right now, and the Predators are like, "Yeah, man, we're not doing that." Like, that could be. I don't know what he's asking for right now. But today's June 20th. July 13th is less than a month away. It's some Hendersonville High School math for you right there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're getting close to the point where whatever the best offer is, or the offer you're willing to live with, in Forsberg's case, is, you know, here in a few weeks, you're going to have that number in mind as to what you're willing to take, or if you're the Predators, what you're willing to give in order to keep him here.
Well, Forsberg is, like, ridiculous. Let's say he's saying that's got to be 10. You know? Then I can't blame Poile for not crossing to there.
Yeah.
Because that's too much. But if that is the case, then my next question is, then why didn't you move him? You know, if it was going to be this untenable situation where he's just totally unrealistic.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter now anyway, because that time has passed. So I'm guessing it's a little bit more realistic than that, and that Poile will probably get to whatever it is, because he really kind of has to.
Yeah. I mean, Forsberg holds the cards now in this negotiation. Now, like, would it be a bad look? Let's say that Forsberg, at the end of the day, it just comes out that he really has really never had much of an intention of staying here, which I don't believe.
He's just like a nice guy suitor. Yeah. He's just a better played suitor. Yeah.
I don't believe that's the case, but let's just say, for sake of argument, that ends up being what happens. And it's going to be pretty bad for him when he comes back. Like, saying how much you want to be in Nashville, and then you're on CMA Fest talking about how much you love Nashville and all this other stuff, and you're just like, it's all right.
But how? Really? But how will that be known? I guess it's,
well, I don't think it will be.
If he signs a, well, I don't know. I mean, yeah, people are going to be mad at him if he goes, to some extent. Although I think it seems to me like in retrospect, most of the anger at the time was towards Suter, not Poile.
It will not be the case this time.
In this case,
it will be the opposite.
It will be, flip flop that. When Forsberg comes back, you know, no one will boo, but then, like,
he's playing for the Wild.
But then they'll put the camera on Poyle's box, and then everybody boos. You know, I'm sure they'll do that in Bridgestone.
Forsberg goes to the Stars, so he can play with Suter now.
Oh, there you go.
Well, let's get them together.
Like, if you're Forsberg and you aren't sure, yeah. If you're fourth, yeah, get everybody together. Where's Jimmy Vesey? Can you throw him in there somewhere? If you're Forsberg and you're not sure, what are you looking at? Because the Kings would be the obvious. They have all this space, and they have Arvidsson and all this stuff.
I think people are really overblowing the Arvidsson thing, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure they are. It's an obvious link. He did like playing with them.
Sure.
So it's not just friendship. Like they play. They had good chemistry together.
Yeah.
What else? Edmonton?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing.
I mean, your dollars go a lot farther there than, like, L.A.
It does.
But L.A. is L.A.
Yeah, look.
I mean, he and Kittle can go to some Dodgers games.
Well, look, if you're making the type of money that he's about to make, you're going to be fine wherever you go.
Right.
Now, you'll be more fine here in terms of your dollar value. But, you know, maybe, I mean, some people, when you make that much money, they don't really care. Like, yeah, that's fine. We'll go out to L.A. I don't know. Like, it could be what he's thinking. I mean, Darren's now at 65%. You're at 54. I'm at 52.
Jared's at 100.
Jared's at 100.
Which, as Darren rightly pointed out, so that means you know. Like, you have actual knowledge that it's happening.
Eh?
Which is not the case, but oh well.
April in Portland says, they shouldn't sign him for one penny over $9 million. If he wants to be in Nashville bad enough, he needs to compromise. Much cheaper in Tennessee compared to other states. That needs to be considered. It's coming from April in Portland on the text line.
Yeah, I just really believe that it is more than money. Now maybe somewhere along the way he has a good feeling for what he thinks is going to happen here on the ice for the team. And so it's become just about money. At some point maybe that's true, but if he's torn or if he's still – if it's not as simple as I'm coming if you get to here or I'm going if you don't, if that's it, okay, then he's come to terms with what he thinks the hockey will be. But if he gets out there, to me that also would probably speak to that. I mean, just not sure that he wants to go through – maybe he just doesn't like the way things are going and he feels like it's going to go take a turn for the worse and he's going to – you'll be missing the playoffs and stuff like that. I mean, I don't care what you say. These guys don't want to play losing for losing teams, not being the postseason, not being the biggest games, not have a chance to get what everybody who plays hockey wants to have their name etched on.
Speaking of money, we'll get into the Jeffrey Simmons situation coming up next. If you're a Titans fan, do you think that John Robinson should make Jeffrey Simmons' contract now a priority rather than waiting another year or two? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get into that coming up next. This baseball season, swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code ROB to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. The New York Yankees are off to a solid start this year. They're hitting the ball all over the place. Give me Anthony Rizzo over on home runs. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Just join with promo code ROB and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Always bad news for Intern Hanley and her beloved Tampa Bay Lightning. Braden Point not at morning skate.
Oh, boy.
Andre Vasilevsky's not at morning skate either. I don't know if that necessarily means anything other than, hey, man, why don't you just save your skating for tonight? But
or maybe he's like, hey, guys, you know what? If you want me to play tonight, go watch
play a little bit better.
Yeah, watch the last game a couple times today. Boy,
they need Braden Point out there.
They're going to win the next four, aren't they? Lightning in six.
I don't know. Brian Elliott, Conn Smythe winner, backup goalie.
Four straight shutouts.
We'll see Game 3 of the Cup Final coming up tonight. I believe it's 7 o'clock tonight, so looking forward to that. We'll see if Tampa Bay can make this a series. Kona played her against a machine known as the Colorado Avalanche.
Right after you and I talked to some Preds, we're talking to Preds season ticket holders tonight.
Oh, yeah.
You got some prepared remarks?
No prepared remarks, going off the cuff.
Yeah, no, we're answering questions, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Asked by Big Joe?
Yeah, Big Joe Dubin's going to be there.
Great.
I mean, a disaster.
I have to study up on my 38 special and Loverboy trivia.
Joe, what do you make of the question we threw out earlier in the show? If you're John Robinson and the Titans, we've talked a lot about Jeffrey Simmons and a potential new deal. He's got 2 years left on his contract. And if you wanted to play hardball with him, you could go three with a tag involved in there as well, where he's under your control and would no doubt be cheaper, and you would be able to operate and do other things around with the roster, around Jeffrey Simmons with the roster, that may enhance your chances of winning in the next couple of years. But I think everybody would agree, Jeffrey Simmons has overperformed. He is worth way more than he's getting paid this year, which is around $4 million. I think it jumps up to over 10 next year. Aaron Donald just signed a deal where he'll be making about $30 million guaranteed for the next few years. So I don't know if Jeffrey Simmons is going to approach that, but probably valued somewhere in the mid-20s per year would be my guess. How do you handle this if you're John Robinson and the Titans, of a player that you love, that you want to have as a part of your football team for a long time, not just the next couple of years, but is also contractually at the moment under your control for the next two, really the next 3 years at this point? How do you handle this if you're J-Rob and the Titans?
I'd show the foresight and understanding of my roster and personnel and do a nice big deal for him. Right around, I'll just throw out 4 for $85, 25 guaranteed. Gets his $25 million guaranteed. He no longer has to worry about playing for $4 million this year, having a disastrous injury, and never getting the big payday. Gets the big payday. And I think by the end of a deal like that, I think it would look like a pretty good deal. Now, of course, you could always make the argument, anybody who wants to oppose this argument, like any GM would probably say, okay, so in 2 years when he wants it redone, well, okay, if he's so good that he wants it redone in 2 years, then cross that bridge. But what's the cap at that point? I mean, what is the market at that point? How good is he at that point?
Well, if he wants it redone in 2 years, it's probably good news for your football team, would be my guess.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, that does happen sometimes, but just I think he's exactly the guy you do this for based on – I don't think Jeffrey Simmons has been anything but a positive force for the Titans on and off the field, and I think it's pretty simple. Even if it is against convention for this particular franchise, so that's when you know you get yourself a good player when you break from convention to do something like this. And John Robinson, frankly, has not had a high enough rate of second contracts for his own first round picks.
We
thought that. Well, I was going to say something about A.J. Brown, but he was a second-round pick. Go through all of them, and, it's been – if you're constantly taking guys who you don't want to pay that second deal to, then that's not great over time. But also when you have one like this – and, again, we're talking about, I think most people in the NFL would put him number two behind Aaron Donald. There's a gap. I don't know that he's necessarily going to – he was asked about that last week, and he gave I'm a different player. I mean, I don't think it's fair to expect him to become Aaron Donald. No one's Aaron Donald but Aaron Donald. That's why he's getting paid the money he is, and he's got a wing and Canton up ready for him, okay? But I'd say he's number two right now and still a very good number two and a guy that you want to lock up. So I think that's going to happen in July.
Well, He'll be 25 years old in late July. I mean, he's theoretically about to start entering into the prime years of his career. Now, your athletic prime, as you pointed out, 28 to 32.
Right.
So he's still a ways off from that. But NFL, maybe it's a little bit earlier.
It's probably a little earlier.
A little earlier in the NFL.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe quarterbacks a little bit more on that timeline. Quarterback prime might be 35 to 39 now. I don't know.
Very well could be. Let's say Jeffrey Simmons has – for the next 2-3 years has the same kind of year he had last year. Maybe not exactly the same in terms of stats, but same impact on the game. How much is that worth per year if you're the Titans? The type of year that he had a year ago. Because, mean, what you would like for him to do is get better. I think it's going to be hard for him to be much better than he was last year. He's pretty darn good last year.
Yeah, so he could be better statistically.
Yeah.
But that doesn't – he could also be worse statistically and be better. I mean, that's what that position is. So, really, I mean, it is hard sometimes to – I mean, how many sacks of teammates did he really create? I think last year Simmons and Autry at times did such damage right off the snap that someone else got home. So there's no assist for that, you know, in football. There are like pass rush win rate stats and all that type of stuff.
Well, it felt like his kind of like his coming out party last year nationally was that Rams game against Aaron Donald and the Rams, but he was a monster in that game from the opening snap. Was a monster in that game, and I think we all, you know, we knew what Jeffrey Simmons was here, and we had seen glimpses of it. But that was the game where I remember I texted you that night. I was just like, whoa, look at Jeffrey Simmons in this game.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, probably no coincidence that the guy who absolutely is the standard setter of that position was on the other sideline, and Jeffrey Simmons was more impactful than he was that particular night. So, yeah, like if – I mean, that's the night where he gets home himself too. So it's just like there's just no question he wrecked the game. But you can also – he's wrecked other games where he had no sacks. So, to me, if you are going to win – and think of the goal line situations where he – even from his rookie year, when he comes in late, he's off the ACL, and even late in that year, there were a couple situations where I was like, oh, 98. What's he going to end up being? So, I mean, if you could count on last year's Jeffrey Simmons for the next 4 years, not one – ounce of improvement, the exact same guy. And I think he can improve, but let's say you see the exact same guy, that's well worth the numbers I put out there. I think well worth it. I think the numbers I put out there, 4 for 85, 25 guaranteed, like if you're John Robinson hearing that we just said, he would right now, he's running to sign up for it.
Yeah. So do you think it gets done? I think it should get done. Do you think it will get done?
I do. I think it will. And they've gone out. Someone earlier mentioned Casey, the Jarrell Casey situation. Yep. So he got a 4-year, $60 extension. Robinson gave him that. Now he'd gotten a 4 for $36 million. What's that?
$60 million.
Yeah.
You said $60.
I said 4-year, $60.
Yeah.
Now John Robinson has a hard bargain over here.
Jarrell.
He was counting on tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. He needed tips to be part of the salary. Wow. Yeah. 4-year, $60 million. extension that Robinson gave him in 17 after that 16 season when he was absolutely a load in 2016. And at that point, you know, he was only 27.
I know.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, when they moved him to Denver, which was with 1 year left on the deal, which it's interesting because I remember thinking in 20, like, that's going to be a really good Simmons now. Like coming into his own, and Casey is kind of like the mentor handoff. Like, wow, what a combo they could be. Well, they moved on a year early. There was 1 year left on his deal. He was 30. Obviously, it worked out really well. But, I mean, Casey still gave him that deal. I mean, he gave you 3 good years. He was slowing down a little bit. He was not as dominant, I'd say, in both 18 and 19 as he had been, you know, like in 16 and 17 and before that. So, but right now, like you said, 25 years old, Jeffrey Simmons. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it will get done. I don't think we'll have a boss hog presser, but I think we'll have a presser during camp with Jeffrey Simmons talking about his new contract.
We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game.
Well, you got to look historically how teams do their contracts. You'd think that, they didn't mind going into my fifth year, just going into his fourth year. They're both first-round picks. And honestly, here's another thing. I have no idea. Right? I don't – like, you're literally asking me things, and I could just speculate. I have no clue. what Jeffrey Simmons is doing with his life right now. I could not even tell you where he's at in the building.
Well, you seem so pretty confident that he wasn't.
Yeah, because I'm just going off of my experiences, right? That's what people do a lot. They just say because of their, like, what I know, it's the answer. But I really don't know shit, you know?
That was Taylor Lewan last week at minicamp. Been some interesting press conferences lately for Taylor Lewan.
That bleep, was that bleep a little bit off there? It was like bleep, then he said the word. I don't know, I could be wrong.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't off,
all right.
Joe.
Okay, I'm probably wrong. By the way, so I'm going to go back. He had a very good, yeah, Michelle and I were both there. I think Hanley was there too, right? Hanley, yeah. Hanley, first day out of the Titans, got the up-close view of Taylor Lewan. So I'm going to go back.
Nice 102-degree day out there last week. That's
yeah.
Good stuff.
So let me find this tweet. What day was that?
I know the tweet. It was Wednesday.
You know the tweet. It was Wednesday. So that's, this is really good radio whenever I'm like, let me like look something up while I'm talking.
King Griffey Jr.
Talking.
And Senior played together?
All right. So here's the tweet. Taylor Lewan on DK Metcalf being in amazing shape while being able to eat Skittles. Quote, respectfully, bleep that guy. End quote. That was the tweet. 4,237 likes.
Wow.
Rex Road's cooler than us, Rob.
Well, no, that stuff gets shared, and like DK replied to it and said something, you know. So, yeah. I think Lewan said something. He was like all afraid that DK was going to beat him up. So, typically backpedaling Lewan. God. Weak. You know, how do you want that guy to be your left tackle? He's gonna cower.
The podcaster.
Yeah. Yeah. The podcaster. Yeah. Get rid of him. Just kidding. Just kidding. But, yes, always a good – I mean, really, from a media perspective, please never cut him, Titans. Even when he totally sucks. Kick him upstairs. Let him be like some kind of a – you know, let him be in the front office in some capacity.
You need to always announce when he's coming back on the field. All I ask for if you're the
and
Titans.
And that too. Yes, and that
always
too.
Make sure that we know that he's coming back in the game.
Yep, and I'm not going to do it. real quick, just a different topic, but we were talking about this earlier. Ben on the text line, driven by WellsConnected.com. I want to get to this. Now that we have a legit owner and stability, let's rebuild on the Bill Haslam front.
Oh, talking about Preds. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm bouncing all over the place. Yeah, come on. But I mean, like that idea to me is like, this isn't going to be some transformational thing for like how they do business.
I don't think so.
Not anytime soon.
No.
First of all, it's going to be a period of years, right, over which he's going to become majority owner.
Right.
It's an ownership group. And David Poyle, you know, Sean Henry is president and CEO, and David Poyle's GM, and John Hines the coach. So,
like, I don't think this changes much at all in the short term.
No. I don't think it changes one single thing.
Yeah. Like this idea of Forsberg.
Yeah.
Now it's with Haslam coming in there.
Philip, get over here. Make him an offer he can't refuse.
Go ahead
refuse.
And take that contract over there, man.
Yeah, you're going to sign this right now, buddy. Yeah, it's not going to change. But, yeah, again, long term, it means something. But I just wanted to get to that because I feel like some people think that. Like this is going to be it's a totally different. And, again, I got to say, like, a little disappointed in some media who cover the NHL – writing this that he's the owner of the Preds. It's not what it is.
It is not what it is. But we'll see what happens in terms of long term, what it means. I mean, look, it's never a bad thing in my mind to add somebody worth billions of dollars to your ownership group. That is very good.
Not
if you're
at
the
all.
Predators.
Not at all.
Especially a guy that's from Tennessee. So that helps too.
Right. Like if you're adding someone from a billionaire from like Hamilton, Ontario, then that
maybe
would be,
you raise your eyebrows a little bit.
Yeah, it might be problematic. Yeah, I would say that Bill Haslam probably wants the Preds to stay in his home state.
I would say there's a pretty good chance of that. I missed a lot while I was gone last week. Tennessee baseball eliminated.
Yeah,
your beloved Warriors winning another NBA title, which you're just giddy about. I've seen you all day. By the way, PK Subban's been on Get Up all day.
Yeah,
on ESPN. And they made him hang around for the NBA discussion. And then when they started talking about the Cup Final, like Kendrick Perkins and everybody else, they just left. Like,
yeah.
What in the world?
I want to hear Perkins' take on the Stanley Cup Final. You're going to make PK talk about hoops? No, I'm here for every
little. There's a lot of trash talk between the Warriors and the Grizz. A lot.
The pettiness is amazing. I mean, you knew Draymond was going to do it. Draymond's going out on Perkins. He had that awesome Boston. You see that Boston Celtics t-shirt?
Yeah, the shirt was awesome.
The little place for the – and he's like, nope.
Nope.
You knew Draymond was going to talk every bit of trash, and I'm here for every little bit of it. And I also love, I mean, it is amazing to me that Clay got upset by a Jaren Jackson tweet that just said strength in numbers.
Yeah. And apparently he's been thinking about it for a long time.
It's a good troll. Like, it's a good troll.
He said it was from the regular season, didn't he?
It was like from, like, March. Yeah. No, I went back and, like, somebody had, like, screenshotted the tweet. And, yeah, it's like, wow, that got you mad? And now, and of course, then Ja's like, oh, we got real estate. And, you know, so it's great.
Hey, keep it coming.
If you're the Warriors, you can talk all the trash right now. But if you're the Grizzlies, don't back down. Talk your trash, too.
Did you see Draymond's tweet that said, not going to the parade if nobody's speaking or something like that?
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I saw something where they're going to, like, have them give speeches in a private thing, but then the parade, they're just going to parade around or something?
He was like, no speeches, not going.
Well, then they should change because you want Draymond. We all want Draymond to give the speech and talk, absolutely call every single person out.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's the whole point of the parade.
And, yeah, your Vols, I did want to get your thoughts on that failure. We talked a lot about this last week, of course.
The most Tennessee thing of all time. The expectations are sky high, and then just a punch right to the gut. Don't even make it to Omaha. I mean, the bottom line is Notre Dame, they just came out and hit the crap out of the ball in that first game. And then, you know, you play with fire long enough, you lose that first game. Winning two in a row in postseason plays hard, and Notre Dame played really well. As we found out, they beat – who did they beat the other day? It was
they beat Texas, right?
They beat Texas. Yeah. That's right, and Texas is now eliminated. Texas is gone. Nice shout-out to the Texas A&M pitcher walking off the mound yesterday with the horns down. That's good stuff. Texas is now out. And Notre Dame, they got a chance to do some damage in this tournament. So
they did lose to Oklahoma yesterday, though.
They did. Part of it is, I think, they played really well, and Tennessee – kind of got cold at the wrong time there, and you know, pitching and defense was a problem throughout the postseason. So I don't know. If you're Tony Vitello, it's got to sting because I'm not sure you're ever going to have a team quite like that one again in terms of the mix. I mean, they were in the conversation for one of the best teams ever. Now, you look at who they got coming back, the pitching still should be phenomenal next year. So they're going to have a chance to win and to be good and to get back to Omaha next year, but – I don't know that they'll ever have quite the mix that they just had. It's hard to replicate what they just had.
Agree. So you don't think that this loss was a huge commentary on how they go about things and how it's karma biting them in the butt and they should totally be choir boys now and never talk trash again?
I don't think so.
Well, good. Then Vanderbilt fans can be mad at you this week, too, because I got a whole week of that. They're mad.
GB
Joe. They so badly want this to be some commentary on their very existence, you know.
I did think when I logged back into Twitter yesterday, I was like, I wonder how many comments I have about Tennessee baseball on here.
Did you have a lot?
Just one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
people mostly left you alone.
They just left me alone, I guess.
Yeah. Tony V and the Vols. Well, first of all, they lost some guys who aren't gonna do things the same way, but just keep doing exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
They'll be back. Vanderbilt will be back too.
Try not to get thrown out of the game though in the
Super Regional. Throwing up middle fingers and whatnot, probably not a good idea.
Probably not good.
Most of it's fine.
That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. The DDC coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.